The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you with the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Weekly with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski, and we're glad you're here, too. To reach Dr. Mike for him or guests or topics or questions or comments, it's udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com. Thanks to our affiliates all across the country for picking this show up weekly. We thank you for that. Also, you can listen on Radio MD. You miss a segment, you never miss a segment or a guest or a topic. And we're on iHeartRadio Talk. It's the new innovative way to get customized information for you. You add Radio MD or You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on iHeartRadio. It's a special news and update station that you can customize just for you. Go to iHeartRadio.com. You can download the app. You can listen on the web. When you go to the web, click Talk in the main menu and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. But anyway, it's udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Dr. Mike, if anybody is afraid to get on an airplane, then we've got the solution coming up with a guest topic and guest expert at 35 minutes after the hour.
Absolutely. He has been was a 40-year pilot for American West, one of the U.S. group airlines. He's called Captain Ron Nielsen, the plane whisperer. He also is a retired Air Force pilot, and for the last, I guess it is 20-plus years, he's been teaching people. You can find his website, Fearless Flight, fearlessflight.com. We're going to learn a little bit about how people can get less afraid of flying, and it isn't that tough, according to him. And they've got a great set of, reality systems to help you do that.
One in four people who fly, or, you know, one in four people, line four people up, one of them has a fear of flying, 10 to 25%. So you fly a lot. You're flying all the time, probably fly more than you stay home. Do you have steel onions when it comes to flying?
In fact, I don't, you know, I actually start working, I don't sleep on the planes unless it's overseas, but in going across the country or up and down the country, I work full time, so I don't actually notice it other than if we get a real turbulent area. So I always book a aisle seat so I can get out of it easily, but that's to use the facilities because I drink a lot of coffee. But other than that, I just consider it an office without a phone, and it's a wonderful place to be.
So you don't have a fear. You don't have a fear of flying at all then, right?
I don't have any problem at all.
Now, you do a lot of cross-country. You do a lot of flying all over the world. There are issues when you fly for any length of time, right? If you're in an airplane for, you know, if you're going overseas, you're going to the Middle East, or you're going to the Far East, or, you know, Australia, you know, places like that. I mean, you've got to... What are the issues that long periods of flight do to the body?
Well, there are a couple things. One is you get dehydrated, so you should hydrate. Two is you're immobile, so I try and get up every hour minimum and walk up and down the aisle, do exercises in my seat, and take two baby aspirin before I get on, with a half a glass of warm water before and afterwards. So I'm really religious about those things. And the real hazard of flying from a standpoint is a time change one, that is not normalizing your time change. I found I could sleep perfectly going 12 or 14 hours if, as soon as I get to the foreign country, I adopt their time schedule, but I exercise to stay awake. In other words, when you go, like, we have a Cleveland Clinic, has a Cleveland Clinic Abu Dhabi, and when I go there, it's, I think, 12 hours different, maybe 13, and you feel immediately like you want to go to sleep, but you can't, because if you go to sleep then, you're really, the schedule is totally messed up. So what you do is you stay awake till 10 p.m., and I do it by always getting a hotel with an exercise area. And the first stop is the exercise area if it's like 5 p.m. to try and do whatever I can to stay up to that 10 p.m. period so that I can then reset my own circadian rhythm.
What's the baby aspirin for before you go on a plane?
Well, because you tend to have a much higher incidence of clots, that is, of deep vein thrombosis, because you don't move your legs very much.
Yeah.
And so I take the aspirin to decrease my risk of clotting. I take it every day as a routine for preventing cancer, etc. But occasionally people miss it. Well, the one day you should never miss it is when you're on a plane.
Captain Ron Nielsen at 35 after the hour. And if you've got any fears at all about flying, you really shouldn't. They say it's safer than getting into a car and traveling on the highway. Then he'll try to maybe calm some of those fears when we speak with him at 35 minutes after the hour. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Let's tackle the public health file in this segment. Diabetes. How many millions of Americans have diabetes in this country now? What does the CDC say?
Well, this is really scary. When I was in 1984, I started doing lectures about diabetes, and we thought we had at that time 4 million diabetics in the United States, of which 1 million were type 1. So 3 million type 2s. When you looked at it, you said, well, maybe there in 1994, 10 years later, we said maybe it's 10 million with, again, 1 million type 1, so 9 million, gone up threefold in a decade. Well, the CDC has just released data saying they think the United States has 29 million, which is really unbelievable, if you will, 29 million. So it's up another, we've gone from 9 million in 1994 in 29 million, tripled. Again, this is in 20 years, and they say that maybe as many as, and this is really very astonishing to me, maybe as many as 70 million or 80 million have prediabetes, and in fact, the worry is that we will, one-third of the U.S. population in 2050, if we keep the same trend, will have type 2 diabetes, which has a lot of influence because it says we're going to get a lot more heart disease, a lot more cancer, a lot more brain dysfunction, a lot more amputations, a lot more kidney disease if that happens. The wonderful news about type 2 diabetes, and it was in this article as well, if you look at Cleveland Clinic's own record with it in our disease reversal program here, or our enforcer e-coaching program that we have online, that's enforcerecoaching.com. There is a charge for that, as there is if you come and visit us here. We get 60% of the people with pre-diabetes get totally to be non-diabetic within 1 year. So it's really not that hard, and it is 60% of the diabetics get to be pre-diabetic. So we reverse those groups. In other words, in 1 year, it's amazing how this is doable with a minor change. And people would say it's a major change, but it's avoiding those five food felons that we talk about. Simple sugars, added syrups, simple carbohydrates, saturated fat and trans fat, and doing 10,000 steps of walking a day. And if people want to, managing their stress. But that's really what it takes, is just a little exercise consistently done and a small change in diet.
Those numbers you said, 29 million and maybe as high as 70 million, just want to emphasize those. That's in America. That's in this country, right? Alone.
That's in the United States alone. If you go to, you know, we have a place in Abu Dhabi, 80% of the population of Abu Dhabi now has either diabetes or prediabetes.
Yeah. That's very, very startling. Very startling. Tracy Morgan, the comedian, apparently has diabetes. Will his diabetes complicate his recovery after his car crash of a week or two ago? We'll get into that and more coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com, YOUDOCS@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com on the email address. If you have a fear of flying, listen in about 15 minutes at 5:35. We'll try to help you out and get over that. Not sure we can do it in a couple of segments, but you'll be on your way, and you don't have to be. So that'll be coming up at 35 minutes after the hour. Dr. Mike Tracy Morgan, the comedian, the actor, in the car crash or limo crash a couple of weeks ago, he got banged up pretty well. Somebody lost his life in that accident. But apparently Tracy Morgan has diabetes too, and we're talking about diabetes in the first segment of the show today. So how will his diabetes complicate his recovery, if at all?
Well, what happens with diabetes is you have increased blood sugar, and that blood sugar is a great medium for bacteria. So the problem with it is there's an increase in infections in all those spots that are healing, and especially in those spots operated on. So he had, as I read it, a couple of leg fractures, yeah, a fractured nose, etc. And in each of those leg fractures, they usually will use screws. Well, there's a much higher incidence of infections in those screw areas. In addition, there is a longer period of healing in the diabetic because there is this blood sugar that apparently inhibits the normal healing process. So your proteins aren't quite as normal, so there's a little longer healing process. And of course, because he's diabetic, and he also has kidney disease, he is usually on some immunosuppressants and some steroids, which increase the blood sugar further, and the immunosuppressants inhibit his normal ability to fight infections. So there is, in fact, a significant risk from major trauma. There's a significant risk from any injury that he has that's greater. Now, quantify it.
Yep.
It's almost three times as great an infection risk. So I don't know how old he is, but as you get older, every 10 years you have a threefold increased complication risk and mortality risk from the same operation. So that's why we tried. That's how I, in fact, started the whole process of Real Age. It was, how can I make people 10 years younger physiologically in the 2 weeks surrounding their operation? And that's one of the secrets we do, both at the Cleveland Clinic and at the other institutions I was at. By making them younger, we have much lower mortality and complication rates. And that was one of the things we in anesthesia did well, and taught people how to do this and still do it. But in fact, what he is 10 years older than his calendar age, and his healing is essentially as if he's 10 years older than that. So if he's 50, he has the healing properties of a 70-year-old.
70.
It takes the time to heal that a 70-year-old would rather than a 50-year-old.
Wow, that is interesting, very surprising. While we're still on this diabetes topic, your department, there's a study.
So
go ahead.
That's one of the reasons you want to get rid of your diabetes as soon as you can.
Yep.
And remember, although two-thirds of us have the genes for type 2 diabetes, all of us don't have to have it. It is something stimulated that turns on those genes that cause diabetes by not doing physical activity and by eating too much sugared and saturated fat food and not managing stress and getting enough sleep.
About that study on diabetes treatments, let's finish up on this topic before we go to, and we'll fit a couple more before the bottom of the hour. There's a study on diabetes treatments. What's going on with that?
Yeah, this was interesting because we know that insulin causes you to eat more, and that certain treatments for diabetes cause you to, in fact, want to eat more and make you more obese. Well, this study looked at a huge number of people who were on metformin, and they added either insulin or another drug, not an insulin, to your regimen to help manage your higher blood sugar. And the people who got the insulin had a increased risk of heart problems. It was a significant increase. I think it was around, and Joe, you may have the data there in front of you, but as I remember it, was around a 20% increase in heart problems in over the 8 to 12 years that they looked at these patients. They weren't randomly allocated, but they looked at them from a study. Obviously, we often speak about, and so if you're new listening to the show, randomized controlled trials where you put half of the people randomly to get the insulin or half not would be the gold standard to tell you whether this is true or not. This was an association study, so you can't say, well, maybe the people who were sicker actually got the insulin, or maybe the people with the higher glucose got the insulin. So you can't say it's really the insulin that's causing it, but it was very significant increase if you did have to have the insulin.
youdocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Let's get an update. How about an update on these cases of mosquito-borne virus? It's a pretty difficult word to pronounce. Chikungunya virus. Are more states checking in on this?
Geez, Joe, I was hoping you would have learned to pronounce it by now, because I can't.
Chikungunya. Sounds right.
But in any case, this is U.S. brought back to the United States by Caribbean travelers. It is now 135,000 cases, up from 100,000 on June 2nd in the Caribbean nations. That's the Caribbean Public Health. It's been in 20 countries. The Dominican Republic has 77,000 in the past 5.5 months. Well, it's now in not only Florida, but North Carolina, Nebraska, Indiana, and Tennessee seem to be states with cases. Some of those carried, some of those by apparently people bitten by a mosquito in another state and carried as the mosquito travels, or people bitten in the other states as they move back to Nebraska and North Carolina, etc. So this is pretty scary, because the this virus, we have no vaccine against it, and causes really severe pain, arthritic pain, causes really severe diarrhea and headaches, and people are literally devastated by those painful joints. They seem to resolve over a two-week period, and I don't know. I've been trying to find out what percent of the people have ongoing symptoms. I haven't been able to find that out because this is so new of a problem. But there are some people with lingering symptoms, but it does not cause death.
Is there any redeeming value for a mosquito? You know of any? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. They must have some redeeming value. You know, as I said, they probably don't have much, because Bill Gates did this project in Key West, Florida.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
They got all these male mosquitoes that they had made infertile. That is, they had bred them so that they couldn't breed, and they populated Key West with these, and thus the spread of mosquito disease didn't occur, because the mosquito population didn't increase because the males couldn't impregnate or couldn't make the females pregnant.
During the break, I'm gonna see if I can find the answer to that. If there's any redeeming value for a mosquito, everything in existence has some kind of value. I'm gonna try to look that up while we're going to the break. We have the guest coming up right after the break here, so we'll try to help you out. If you've got, you're not alone. Anywhere between 10 and 25% of all of us are just plain afraid to get on an airplane. They say it's safe. It's safer than driving, but, you know, even I experience it sometimes. Anxiety is understandable. We'll be speaking with a pilot for almost 40 years, and he flew for a major airline, and he's got some calming information for us coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, no matter what your pilot tells you or the flight attendant tells us, taking a plane trip these days is likely to be scary for some people, uncomfortable, and pretty nerve-wracking. For millions of people, it's all that and just absolutely frightening to some. Captain Ron Nielsen has been a pilot for almost 40 years. He is was a captain for a major airline. They have the age 60 rule that calls for mandatory retirement of pilots, so he was essentially done with that part of his career. But, you know, flying has always been his passion. Now he devotes much of his time and energy to helping other people be able to fly. And, you know, it's a harrowing thing. Captain, thanks for coming on today. Let me ask you something.
My pleasure.
Let me ask you something. When somebody watches a movie like Flight with Denzel Washington and the incredible thing that what he did with that plane in that movie, whether or not it's doable or not, that's up for debate, I guess. But when somebody watches a movie like that, or somebody sees what's happened with the Malaysian airline, the incident there a couple of months ago, does that set a heck of a lot of people back?
Well, you know what it does? It actually just triggers. It like takes the lid off their fear. So, you know, our fear is there, and it gets triggered by certain things, and fear happens, unfortunately, is one that triggers a lot of people. So movies like that, stories in the news, actually just unleash the fear. It was always there. You know, it just kind of takes the lid off.
Could anybody have done that with an airplane like he did in that movie Flight, Captain?
I would love to tell you that I could, but no. The interesting thing about that particular movie is the setup for the initial problem where they lost control of the pitch of the airplane was actually based upon an actual accident that happened in 2000 off the coast of L.A. And but the recovery was that was out of the realm of possibility, particularly if you had the problem that they did. But it makes a great script.
Yeah. And I guess we're all at the mercy of maintenance crews, right? I mean, you know, I mean, as pilots as talented as they are, I mean, if these maintenance crews have to be on their ball game.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is, you know, mercy is not like a likely word that I like to use think about. But no, I'm just kidding with you. You know, yeah, we all do that. But the use of the word mercy kind of conjures up what many of your listeners are thinking about, you know, that we are at the mercy. But the fact of the matter is the way that the airline industry became the safest way to travel on the planet is because of, sadly, sometimes there were accidents, and we learned what mistakes that we didn't do. But if we investigated traffic accidents with the same level of intensity that we do airplane accidents, we'd have a lot safer highways as well. So maintenance is something that's been tried and proven. And I like to joke with my classes that it's not Orville and Wilbur's airplane anymore. We've had a lot of technology and really technology is what accounts for a majority of the safety right now. I'd love to tell you that it's all in the, you know, because of the skill in my hands, but really technology has made it the safe way to travel that it is.
Well, let's help some folks out. Here's Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike?
You know, Ron, I was, we're talking, by the way, to Captain Ron, and it's Ron Nelson, the Plane Whisperer. He's a retired Air Force pilot as well as American West, which is part of the U.S. group. And since he retired at the mandatory age of 60, he has run fearlessflight.com, which teaches people how to overcome their fear of flying. So, Ron, I was actually very surprised. I talked to someone who I play ping pong with every Saturday before I come on the show, and he usually beats me, although I triumph today, so I can say that since he listens. But I said, you know, you fly all the time. And he said, and you fly all the time. Do you ever get nervous? And I said, no. And he said, well, you know, we held a contest for the best teacher at the Ginn Academy, which is in Cleveland. And he said the winner was to get a family trip from the teachers who were rated highest by the students, as well as on some other performance measures. And the teacher who won was a round trip to San Francisco with a week stay in San Francisco at one of their hotels and all expenses paid, etc., for that teacher and the family. So the teacher who won begged to say, can I go to Chicago instead because I don't fly? And I was totally amazed at the numbers you quoted. And so the graphs you have in this are really illustrative. So it is someplace over 10% and maybe as high as 25% of the problem.
Absolutely, and that's my personal experience as well. Is when I would fly in the latter part of my career, before we'd push back, I would actually get up out of the seat, and instead of using the PA, I would go back and just greet the folks walking all the way through the cabin, just to let them know that everything's okay. Because I learned that a lot of them had a lot of anxiety, but the numbers are staggering. It's truly amazing how many people are white knuckled or avoiders. Meaning that they do it, but they hate it, or they'll do anything to avoid it. Yeah, but the numbers are quite large.
Now, the other thing, you have some graphs here that really do show how technology has changed. And by the way, medicine in the operating room and ICU learned a lot from flying and from the same thing. So we learned to do the same technological changes, and we paralleled you. But it looks like a lot of the airplane accidents went down in the 60s, as technology changed, and that allowed a lot of departures to increase. These are some really remarkable graphs showing that airlines are much safer than roads per mile or per passenger, and that the number of accidents has, especially in commercial flying, has just about disappeared.
It truly has, and it gets down to where, you know, the point of diminishing returns, it's hard to get any safer than it really is. And an interesting, I was involved in the human factors industry, which is what you're alluding to, and you're right. The medical community came to us in the airlines back in the 80s when we had a few accidents in the 70s that triggered a whole new sense of awareness in aviation that we needed to look at why perfectly good airplanes were crashing sometimes. And we found this thing called human factors. And it doesn't always mean the pilots, but the pilots are the last ones. Usually they can make a difference. So oftentimes it's their efforts that are the last to be recorded. But the medical community, you know, acknowledged that they were having a lot of, you know, loss of patients in their hospitals. And so they looked at some of the changes that we made to because a lot of, particularly in an ICU or an operating room, you have some of the similar dynamics that you do have on the flight deck there with strong personalities and people who are in a supportive role who may or may not be comfortable telling the boss that, hey, are you sure you want to do that? And that was one of the big innovations that came out of aviation.
Now, the other one of the things that happens when people have fear of flying is, do you take them on a plane? Do you give them a flight simulator? How do you get them used to this? What's the first step to overcome this?
Well, the first step they do, fortunately, is that is acknowledge the fact that they've got a fear of flying. And the first thing I do is I have them raise their arm, bend it at the elbow, and pat themselves on the back and say, way to go, you've stepped up, and that's going to do more to get you over your fear than anything. I bring them into a classroom, and then part of that is we put them on traditionally I put them on an airplane. I have an arrangement with an airline here in Phoenix for my local classes. Because of the recent publicity, unbelievable to me, I had a fellow who has actually a movie studio, a set, in California, and so we'll be starting classes in Los Angeles using a cabin simulator, and so that's, I'm looking forward to that. But basically, we get them in to talk about their fears and deal with anticipatory anxiety. Those are the fears that, you know, what's that sight? What's that sound? What are those? What's the sensation that I'm
experiencing?
Well,
Captain Ron, we're gonna.
You bet.
Captain Ron, I'm gonna have to break off now because we got a hard break. We'll come back with you and talk about what you do and the process of overcoming it. It's Captain Ron and Fearless, I guess it would be Fearless Flight. We'll be right back, Joe.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. Captain Ron Nielsen, right, retired Air Force commercial pilot. And his website is fearlessflight.com. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Radio MD is giving away $25 gift cards, and you can be a winner. You can spend the $25 in the Life Extension Store online for the best quality vitamins, minerals, and unique specially made formulas. It's the gift of health, and it's easy to win. Just go to RadioMD.com/contest. That's RadioMD.com/contest, or look for the contest entry on our site. It's just like cash, $25 to spend on the great health products at Life Extension from your friends at Radio MD. Enter now, RadioMD.com/contest.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company. I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Captain Ron Nielsen, the Plane Whisperer, is a retired Air Force pilot, flew commercially for years, and now helps people overcome their fear of flying through his live classes and webinars. He's restored confidence to thousands who are now flying again with a smile on their face. Captain Ron's website is fearlessflight.com, fearlessflight.com. It's very infrequently we talk with a pilot, so we have to ask about, I'm sure you have an opinion on that Malaysian airliner. Is it all probably a good bet that thing is crashing at the bottom of the ocean?
I would say pretty much so. Yeah, the fact that they turned off course, they that was a conscious decision on somebody's part, and without a clearance or without declaring an emergency, the pilots just don't do that. So it's probably not a good sign. That's for sure.
All right, here's Dr. Mike again. Dr. Mike.
Now, fear of flying is I was totally amazed, 10 to 25%. And you said the first thing you do is you sit them down and have them pat themselves on the back because they recognize their problem. Second thing you do is you took them into an airplane in Phoenix, and now you're going to take them on a airplane set. And I guess we can sign up for this if you've got the problem. It's fearlessflying.com. But tell us, so once you get them in the airplane, what do you do? Is it just repeated experience, or what else happens?
Well, up until August 16th will be our first class in the L.A. area. But in the Phoenix area here, when I do the live classes, we have a classroom portion, and then we'll be taking them on an airplane, as I said. And it's a static airplane, and many of them, believe it or not, make me promise that I won't move the flight or the airplane during the class. But what we do is we work on anticipatory anxiety, and that's the anxiety that where you think about what's going to happen to you on the airplane. And again, it's often related to the many of the 60,000 thoughts we have a day. In the case of a fearful flyer, they're obsessing over the sights, sounds, and sensations that are unknown to them, and they interpret kind of negatively as a sign of something going wrong. But what you do is you answer their questions. What's this? What's that? What does this do? How do you land? What are the risks on takeoff and things like that? And then the other part of it is the actual what I call phobic anxiety, and that's where they're on the airplane and they're actually making a flight. And those are that's the fight or flight system that's hijacked their normal rational thought. And what we do is we teach them some techniques, breathing, relaxation, things that they can do to actually calm themselves down. And as you probably are aware of, you know, if I can calm my physiological arousal, the things that are going on oftentimes outside of my consciousness, then I can actually start to manage my level of arousal. So breathing, and one of the things that I learned early on is I have them grab a drinking straw when they go through the food court in the airport, and you just control your breathing. And I use a drinking straw because it minimizes the chances of them hyperventilating, which further adds to their confusion. So if you just breathe in and out slowly, about 10 to 12 breaths per minute through a drinking straw, you can control your rate of breathing, and you can control some of the other physiology that goes along with that, and you can actually calm yourself. And if you can keep yourself below that level at which you trigger panic and panic attacks, then you've pretty much you've got it made, you know. And I teach them that if you can manage your anxiety in the first couple of minutes of flight, you really have a majority of the work done for you.
And breathing through a straw, obviously, you can't hyperventilate, meaning you can't exchange too much air, lower your CO2, and get a hyperventilation syndrome. So that helps with your anxiety. I assume the people who come there in the Phoenix area, are there classes run in other areas, or are you going to do a virtual online version of this once you get the LA sitting? Because obviously people in Chicago don't want to fly to Phoenix to go to the course to overcome their fear of flying. So are there courses like this run throughout the country? That's one of the questions we have from Donna here is, in fact, she said, I live in Chicago. Is there a course like this in Chicago? And if not in Chicago, is there one like this in a place I can travel to, like by train, like Detroit or Milwaukee?
I believe there may be a course in Milwaukee there. This is my first opportunity to expand my reach in terms of live courses in the LA area. But what I've done for years is coaching, and I do online webinars and courses and live coaching. So if they go to fearlessflight.com, I can certainly help them. They can get a free consultation for 15 minutes, and I can sure help them find resources and help them come up with the next step to do that. But I am really excited about the opportunity to do this. And as you know, with technology now, the ability to live cast is coming. And so one of the things we're hoping to do with this new level of instruction with the next set of live classes is to live cast so that we can actually have people participate online. Because I've actually helped more people over the phone and over the internet than I have live, for obvious reasons. Most people don't want to fly to Phoenix to take a fear of flying class.
Now, the other thing you mentioned is that you retired at age 60, and they changed the rules. So we do a lot of inspections for the FAA here on pilots in our executive health program at the Cleveland Clinic, and I know it's 65 now. Are there thoughts of increasing it as our longevity increases, do you know? And after they changed it back to 65, from 60 to 65, could you unretire, or was that a fait accompli already?
Well, to answer your last question first, I could have actually gone back, but unfortunately, the way the rules are written with seniority is I would have had to start all over at the bottom of the pecking order again. So I chose to move on, and helping people, much to my surprise, overcome their fear of flying became a passion for me. This is the 26th year I've been doing this now. And as far as the age limit, my understanding is in Canada, they now have lifted it completely. So it is simply you have to pass, we're always under the scrutiny, as you know, about passing a first-class medical. And so in Canada now, all you have to do is pass the medical and to prove that you're medically qualified. And if they have one person in the cockpit that's over age 60, most of the airlines require someone on the flight deck to be under age 60, kind of as a balancing act. But yeah, the age limits. And I would expect eventually that the U.S. airlines would probably lift that restriction as well and just make it on a medical qualification basis.
So we've been talking with Captain Ron Nelson. I almost gave you a doctorate, Ron. Captain Ron Nelson, who runs the website fearlessflying.com. You can log on there. Has a program in Phoenix and pretty soon in Los Angeles that will in fact allow people in those both of those areas and maybe online. Go to fearlessflying.com and you can contact him. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, and this is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.